Well, I'm moving on out of Florida, headed for Arizona, where we'll stay. Moving on out of Florida, to a place where it's okay to say gay. AZ didn't vote for the fascists, like Florida certainly did. I know things there won't be perfect, and I'm really gonna miss my kid. While we're driving cross country, there still are shows to be done. So I'm pulling interviews you may not have heard, and I hope you listen to everyone while we're moving on out of Florida to Arizona, where it's hot as hell. I'll take the sauna over the steam room to escape this Ron DeSantis fascist hell. Welcome to day two of our moving shows. I'm Nicole Sandler, currently in transit from South Florida to Arizona. And it's going to take a few weeks. So I have spent the time to pull some shows and pieces of shows from the past, dozen or so years, maybe more, and put them together for your enjoyment while we're driving. So yesterday we heard from Heather Cox Richardson and the Reverend Dr. William Barber, two people that I admire so much. And we've got more of those coming up over the next couple of weeks. Today, I don't have an interview for you, but today we're going to mark two moments in history. I've taken to calling around the globe, in case you haven't noticed. The first one up is the first time I did that, as the Arab Spring was just beginning. Let's go back to 2011, February 2nd, 2011. One of the benefits of having been doing this show for so many years is the historical record left behind. Today we experience history unfolding. Remember the Arab Spring? We had such hope that democracy would finally sweep through the Middle East. And it all began with a singular act of defiance. On December 17, 2010, Mohamed Bouzazi, a young Tunisian street vendor who had his produce confiscated by police, set himself on fire to protest against police harassment and the authorities' lack of concern. His actions triggered nationwide protests and calls for an end to the authoritarian rule of the president, Zine El Abidine Ben Ali. And then all hell broke loose. Protests continued in Tunisia. The president finally fled to Saudi Arabia. But the flame had been lit, and the fire was spreading throughout the region, including Egypt. Egyptian activists called for a mass rally and a, quote, day of anger on January 25th, 2011. That date was set to coincide with the annual celebration of the Egyptian police. And the people took to the streets for unprecedented protests in Cairo as the city came to a standstill. And violent clashes between anti-Mubarak forces and the police took over. On January 28th, just 3 days later, Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak announced, quote, I have ordered the government to step down, and I will name a new government tomorrow. Well, that wasn't quite the change the people had in mind. On February 2nd, protesters declared February 4th the, quote, Friday of departure for Mubarak, as the clashes between, again, pro-Mubarak and anti-government forces began in Tahrir Square. That was the day, February 2nd, I decided to call hotels around Tahrir Square to get a firsthand account of what was happening there from just an average working Egyptian. Here's how that went down.
All right. Welcome to a Wednesday. It is the 2nd of February. By the way, you know what that means, don't you? Man. I thought I got you, babe, all queued up, you know, because it's Groundhog Day. I guess good news if you are a believer in the predictive powers of Punxsutawney Phil, who came out of his hole, so to speak, and didn't see a shadow, I guess, so there will be an early spring. Good news to the millions of people who were hit with a huge blizzard yesterday. Unfortunately, I don't think Punxsutawney Phil is very reliable. Anyway, a lot more important things going on in the world today, aside from the weather. Yeah. Yesterday, I was just in awe of the fact that what was happening in Egypt was a peaceful revolution. Unfortunately, the peaceful is no longer in the equation. Yeah, it ain't peaceful at all. In fact, you know, I've been following the tweets of, hold on, let me find my blog here. And, of course I closed it out. Oh, it's one of those mornings, you know. Sharif Qudus, who is the senior producer of, Democracy Now, who grew up in Egypt, is on the ground there, is, watching what's going on. And, what he tweeted just moments ago is, I can't get back into Tahrir. Mubarakite thugs have created a riot at the beginning, at the main entrance. Very hostile atmosphere. Yeah. And the reports of what's happening say that they are thugs. The people, these pro-government thugs, they're describing them as thugs, are the police. Some of the people who have been captured have police ID cards, and they're saying that they are agents of Mubarak who have been brought in to wreak havoc, to create chaos, and to make things worse there. So people might actually think that under Mubarak's rule, things were better. You know, I guess it was wishful thinking on my part to hope that the revolution would be peaceful, because I guess Mubarak and his thugs are doing whatever they can to stay in power. Now, unfortunately, and I didn't see it, according to Syracuse Cindy in the chat room, Joe Biden was on MSNBC this morning, and here's a quote, once again, according to Syracuse Cindy. Egypt doesn't have control of its people the way we do here. Oh, really, Mr. Biden? Not the smartest thing to say. MSNBC posted it. All right, I'll try to find it. In the meantime, I want to play for you. I can't get Al Jazeera's stream live on the computer. Obviously, they are pretty busy, I guess. But here's the latest report filed by an Al Jazeera producer, web producer, on the ground in Tahrir Square. It's from a few hours ago, but it's still pretty timely.
It's about 11:30 now in Cairo, and I've seen not one but two pro-Mubarak demonstrations this morning, both of them small. The first one in the Afuza neighborhood was about 50 people, and the second one in Doki was about 150 people. Both of them had a certain stage-managed quality about them. The one in Doki passed through Midan Doki, Doki Square, a busy commercial part of the neighborhood. And as it did, about a dozen shopkeepers all ran outside at once and started applauding the demonstrators as they walked by. They were chanting, Ya Mubarak, Ya Mubarak. One person was holding signs that said, Yes to Mubarak, No to Chaos. And I talked to these shopkeepers, and every one of them said they supported Mubarak, which is a unanimity that's very hard to find in Egyptian politics. At the other demonstration in Aguza, one woman ran up to me after they passed by and said that they were being paid 50 Egyptian pounds, or about $9, to go out and demonstrate.
Huh.
Several other people in the neighborhood said the same thing. They said they recognized the protesters and they knew they were being paid. Obviously, the protesters themselves would not confirm this, but it seems to be a very widely held belief here in Cairo that the people who were out chanting for Mubarak are being paid to do so.
Did you hear that? And so it's widely believed that the pro-Mubarak factions are being paid by the government to get out there and to wreak havoc. Mona El-Tahawi, who is a columnist, public speaker on Arab and Muslim issues, we heard some clips from her on some of the Sunday shows. She's saying they're Mubarak thugs on horseback entering Tahrir Square and trying to figure out what's going on. All I can say is, you know, the world is watching. You know, truly, the days of the revolution not being televised, over. Because this revolution and every other revolution going forward most certainly will be televised. In case you didn't hear it last night, Hosni Mubarak spoke. It was late. And he said that although people had hoped that he was going to announce that he was leaving, he was stepping down, that's not really what he said. Here's a little bit of his very, very strange speech.
Hosni Mubarak, who is addressing you today, takes pride in the long years he spent serving Egypt and its people. this dear and beloved homeland is my homeland, like as it is the motherland of all the Egyptians, in which I lived and for which I fought. I defended its soil, sovereignty and interest, and I will die on the soil of Egypt, and I will be judged by history for my merits and demerits.
So that was Hosni Mubarak speaking about himself in the third person, which is really weird. But Rachel Maddow made a very interesting correlation last night. Here's the clip.
If President Mubarak's speech in both tone and content seemed a little bit familiar to you from something recently in the news, consider this.
I have spent more than 50 years of my life in the service of Tunisia, serving in different positions from the National Army to the different decision-making positions, and 20 years at the presidency. Every day of my life was and will always be on the service of my country. I have made countless sacrifices.
Sounding very much like Hosni Mubarak did tonight in Egypt. That was Tunisia's decades-long president speaking to his people on January 13th. That was the night before he fled the country.
Now, that's quite interesting. Unfortunately, you know, I think it was wishful thinking on her part, and she then introduced their NBC's foreign affairs, chief foreign affairs correspondent, Richard Engel, who, by the way, is doing a great job covering this, who said, I was waiting for someone else to make that correlation. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like that he's going to carry... follow in the footsteps of Tunisia's former president and leave the country today. But things are getting really ugly there. You know, just as I said, just yesterday, it was very encouraging. It looked like a real peaceful revolution. Today, it just looks like a revolution. Now, of course, as he did the last time Mubarak spoke, President Obama also took to the airwaves after this speech.
It is not the role of any other country to determine Egypt's leaders. Only the Egyptian people can do that. What is clear, and what I indicated tonight to President Mubarak, is my belief that an orderly transition must be meaningful, it must be peaceful, and it must begin now.
And we hear that in a private conversation, President Obama was a bit more pointed to Hosni Mubarak and said, you must leave. Somebody this morning on Twitter said, well, why should he listen to Obama? David Swanson replied, well, $1.5 billion a year. That's pretty influential. Yeah, it's ugly and getting uglier. Again, Sharif Qaddous just tweeted again, we had to disassemble our cameras and hide them in our bags to walk around these thugs. They are attacking journalists, cursing Al Jazeera. And a report came out this morning that said Anderson Cooper was attacked by some of these thugs, was hit in the head at least 10 times. This is going to be an interesting day, to say the least, to watch what's happening in Egypt, and it's not good at all. So let's try this. I'm going to try the Ramses Hilton in Cairo. And, you know, see if we can get someone to talk with us again. We did this the other day. We called the Four Seasons, and it was kind of interesting. Let's see if we can't get somebody. Hi, may I speak with the front desk, please?
Sorry?
May I speak with the front desk, please? Let's see if we can get someone to talk. I guess the phone lines are still up, and the Internet supposedly is back on today. Let's see if the Ramses Hilton, which is right on the Nile, will answer. They answered and put me on hold. I guess they're kind of busy. Actually, their website says, do I still have it open here? Yeah. Hold on. All right. Their website says, the well-being, safety, and security of our guests and team members are of paramount importance, and our hotels across Egypt are making every effort to ensure we deliver the highest level of security. We continue to monitor the situation closely. Guests planning to travel to Egypt should contact their respective governments or tour operators for travel advice and more information. Hello? It sounded like someone picked up and then just sort of went away. You know, I like talking to regular people.
All right, you know what? We'll try it again a little later. But first,
I read the news today. Oh boy.
Time to check in for the latest with the Talk Radio News Service. Find them at talkradionews.com. Hi, who's on the line this morning?
Hi, Nicole. It's Tala. How are you?
Hi, good. Tala Dalashovsky of the Talk Radio News Service. What's things like in Washington today?
Well, we're going to see the Senate vote on the repeal today. Clearly, it's expected not to get the 60 votes needed.
You're talking the Senate's going to vote on the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, as they call it, Obamacare. And this is something that basically they're using procedural stuff to force the vote, because Harry Reid was not going to bring this to the floor.
He was not going to bring it to the floor.
Right.
They're latching it to the aviation bill, the FAA bill that they want to bring forward to boost some 90,000 jobs within the aviation industry.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to bring that forward as well today. You have some Democratic moderates who are on the fence, from Virginia and others, about the repeal of the health care or Obama bill, as people are calling it. But again, they're not going to get, despite what Mitch McConnell is saying, the 60 votes needed for it to pass.
Okay, I just need to break in here because something crossed my Twitter feed, and if this is true, it's devastating. The Egyptian Museum is apparently burning the government paid protesters are apparently throwing Molotov cocktails at it, and if this is true, if the Egyptian antiquities are burning, this is devastating.
Well, it's a horrible situation because these rent-a-thugs, Nicole, that Mubarak has put on the streets to hijack this democracy movement and to beat up on protesters. Anderson Cooper got a rock to his head this morning.
Ooh, I heard he was beaten. You know, I heard he was punched in the head around 10 times. I didn't hear that it was a rock.
You know, again, it's mixed reports, but a rock was thrown at him, and then some of these rent-a-thugs are now beating up on foreign journalists. Mubarak clearly has a strategy here to get the members of the upper elites that still support him in Egypt to look at this and say, look, we need him in power. Lawlessness is just too much. We can't take it. We need to go back to the way Egypt was. And that's unfortunate with his releasing escaped convicts from prisons, putting these rent-a-thugs on the street to beat up these protesters, and now setting fire to museums and other buildings.
Horrible. Horrible. Okay. Now, what about official reaction? I mean, we've heard that President Obama, he spoke last night after Hosni Mubarak spoke. We heard that in a private call, he urged him to leave, said you need to step aside. Apparently Joe Biden said something this morning on MSNBC that we have better control of our people here than they do in Egypt, which is again major foot in the mouth. But what is the U.S. government saying today?
The U.S. government has been good in terms of Kerry and other instances have to ask for Mubarak to step.
You know, Tala, we've got a bad connection right now. I don't know if you moved, but you're breaking up on me. Nope, not good.
Okay, I'm in a funny building.
There you go, right there. Stay put. You're good right there. Okay, so go ahead. I know John Kerry has publicly said, with no reservation, Mubarak needs to leave.
That's right. And what the Egyptian scholars, and I cover international issues, as you know, Nicole, and as an Iranian, I can tell you a lot of people are linking this to the Iranian revolution and saying that it's going to be hijacked by Islamic party members like the Muslim Brotherhood and others. That's not true. What Egyptians believe that inside Egypt, that Mubarak is saying he's going to not seek re-election in 7 months in September, but in fact, we'll try to put his son, Jamal Mubarak, in a place of leadership after he resigns or doesn't seek re-election. So he's actually trying to fool the Egyptian civil society. Mohammed El-Baradei, the former leader of the IAEA, who is expected to lead this transitional government, is also saying that Mubarak needs to immediately step aside. But he's defiant. he has implemented a violent strategy now, and unfortunately for the international community, what we're seeing is that lawlessness has taken over this democracy movement.
It is very sad. I mean, because just yesterday I was marveling at, you know, in awe of the peaceful revolution, thinking how cool that this is happening. And now today we see these thugs coming in trying to, wreak violence, wreak havoc there. And we are learning from all the, you know, a lot of different sources. And some of these thugs, as they're being called, who've been arrested, are confirming that they were paid to go in there and present themselves as pro-Mubarak forces, you know, fighting back to save the government when, you know, boy, all I can liken it to is the AstroTurf teabagger movement here.
Yeah, or you could link it very much to the green movement in Iran when people were protesting and the Iranian government hired thugs, labeled the Basij, to shoot and murder innocent, unarmed civilians. And that immediately stopped the protests.
Yeah.
And people were taken off the streets because they just didn't want to be murdered in cold blood. The other issue you have to keep in mind is that with these democracy movements in Tunisia, in Egypt, in Yemen, and now we're seeing in Jordan, the population of these groups are that the majority of them are 25 and under.
Yes.
So you're seeing a very outdated 82-year-old leader trying to speak to 25 and unders who are college-educated, well-educated, and don't have jobs. Food shortages, as the World Food Program has also indicated, are horrific and really affect these countries who import mostly wheat and rice from other countries because they don't have the agricultural infrastructure set up to have their own independent economy. And living on $2 a day, which is what the average Egyptian lives on, makes food problems a really important issue, and that's going to be definitely at the top of the agenda of the transitional government.
It has gone from uplifting and hopeful to very scary and sad. It's going to be tough, you know, to watch it for the next few days. But we must, and it is the internet age, and I think, you know, I heard someone describe it as the genie is out of the bottle. And although you're Tala Delashovsky from the Talk Radio News Service, you are Iranian. Now, we watched with great hope people of Iran, and as you said, that once the thugs, the government-paid thugs came in, it sort of ended. Do you expect that there's going to be more? You know, it's looking like this kind of democracy breaking out is spreading throughout the region. What do you think is going to happen in Iran?
Well, again, a lot of people are making comparisons, you know, you see on Fox News and other, that to the Iran and Egypt case, saying that Egypt is going to implement Sharia law. I mean, these are just fundamental flaws in terms of their understanding. Iran has a 95% Shiite population. So Shiites implement Sharia law. Egypt has a majority Sunni Muslim population. That means that they implement laws under a legal Islamic jurisprudence, not based on executions and floggings and stonings and so forth. That's the misunderstanding. You also have a pretty good Coptic Christian population within Egypt that Iran does not have. So to compare these two is a similar kind of situation where it's going to be hijacked by the Muslim Brotherhood who's going to implement tough new laws is just plain wrong. It's a misunderstanding of the Egypt situation altogether. What I think will happen in Egypt, if Mubarak does step aside, whether it be in 7 months or immediately, is that El Baradei will seek 80% of the votes of the leadership will be secular individuals who are technologically advanced, who are financial experts that can boost the economy, who are able to deal with food shortages and to get jobs for the youth. The Muslim Brotherhood are individuals. They are not the Mujahideen or the Taliban.
Right.
They are individual scholars and political leaders who are seeking social services for their members, for their constituents, and they were elected on an individual basis. They now, yes, represent 20% of the Egyptian cabinet. But they are not looking to promote a Islamic fundamentalist agenda. And that's what El Baradei and a number of other Egyptians have tried to stress.
Right. And now I guess you've got to stress that the Muslim Brotherhood of 2011 is not the same as the Muslim Brotherhood of the late 70s, who are credited with assassinating Anwar Sadat.
It, clearly, the Muslim Brotherhood at the 70s were a bad time for the Muslim Brotherhood because they had certain members within, not all of their members, members that associated themselves with a Muslim Brotherhood that didn't like the westernized approach of Sadat, didn't like his agreements with Israel. Again, Israel is going to be a very important part of this puzzle with the transitional government. Mm-hmm. Should Al-Baradei take over? Clearly, Israelis are concerned that the Egyptian government right now protects and secures the Gaza Strip from small arms, light weapons, and ammunition to get in there through Egypt. And the Egyptians are an ally of Israel. Should a transitional government take place, will the Muslim Brotherhood take over? Will they want to send arms to the Gaza Strip? These are very important issues, and I don't blame the Israelis for being concerned.
Right.
But the Muslim Brotherhood has changed. It has been for a year. And they are taking a different approach. And the members are in a different, looking at this issue of Egypt in a different light. Right now, the main concerns for Egyptians are jobs and food security. And that's really got to change immediately for them.
Tala Dalachowski, we'll keep looking at what's happening in Egypt and our country's reaction here. Unfortunately, it seems like everything here is being, we're not focused on what's happening here in the U.S. because all eyes seem to be on Egypt right now.
It's true. And, you know, Hillary Clinton has clearly shown that her lack of foreign policy experience on the Egypt issue. Obama's taken over. You said Joe Biden made a few remarks this morning that weren't necessarily appropriate, but I think Obama has been very clear in his messaging. He was tepid initially, but very clear in his messaging that it is important to the United States that Egypt remain stable, and that Egypt is an important ally to the United States. The United States provides $1.5 billion a year to Egypt, and Obama wants to see a transitional government that is stable. Nobody wants to see an Islamic jihad group take over Egypt. And that is less likely to happen. It's not going to happen. It's very unlikely that it's going to happen. And unfortunately, with these thugs on the streets and sticks and rocks being thrown, these images that are being sent out, the Internet has opened up today, to the international community are showing a lot of people, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
These are the Islamic jihadists that we were talking about on Fox News and so forth. So unfortunately, you know, I really hope, Nicole, that this doesn't get hijacked by these thugs, these rabid thugs.
You and me both. And we're hearing Nick Kristof just tweeted gunfire just now around Tahrir, perhaps soldiers firing in air to disperse crowds. Others are saying the Egyptian museum is on fire with Molotov thrown by thugs. I guess it's only a matter of time, but it is what happens between now and when Mubarak is finally either run out of town or worse. And we'll just keep watching and hoping for the best for the people there.
That's right. We just have to keep our fingers crossed.
Most definitely. All right. Tala Dalachowski, thank you for the report. I appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks again, Nicole. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Richard Engel of MSNBC is, stating pro-Mubarak supporters are surrounding anti-government protesters now. It is ugly and getting worse. All right. So we've got a few minutes left here before the day is over. What do you say we try to call Egypt again? I say we do because we can. Although, you know what? What the hell? Let's try to call Hilton and ask them if they are searching the rooms. And then I'm going to share a little poem with you from our friend Carl Howard Johnson's in Egypt. Okay, hold on. Hilton, Cairo, because I closed the window. All right. Let's call the Nile Hilton didn't have the Hilton Zamalek residence, Cairo. You know what? Let's call the Ramses Hilton again because they answered before. And let's see if they'll answer again. What do you think? By the way, it's expensive to call Egypt. Did you know that? Oh, okay. That was the wrong. Hold on. All right. Let's call. Yes, I do call on Skype, but I have Skype out the Luxor. You're funny, pro. All right, we are attempting to call the Ramses.
Thank you for calling Ramses and
Hi, my name's Nicole. I do a radio show in the United States. Could you have a couple of minutes to talk with me about what's happening there in Cairo? Hello? Hello? Are you there? Hello? Well, we're still connected. You know what? Maybe I should call back and ask for the front desk again. Let's do that. You know, it sounded like she hung up on me, but we'll ask for the front desk. Hi, may I have the front desk, please?
What?
The front desk? May I speak with somebody manning the front desk?
Okay, good.
Thank you. Yes, hi, do you speak English? Oh, I think, okay, they said hold on. All right, but at least, hey, we're getting somebody there. While I'm waiting, the Mano blog is reporting very scary live reports from Egypt, violence in Tahrir Square, protesters trapped, attacked. It is not sounding good. And I really would like to speak with somebody there. Hello? Hi. Hello?
You can try it.
Hello? Yes. Can you talk to me for a moment? Do you speak English?
Yeah, I speak English.
Hi. Yes, I'm calling from the United States, and I just heard from a producer at Al Jazeera that the Hilton staff is searching reporters' rooms and confiscating cameras. Do you know if that's happening?
You want to confirm about your room?
No. I heard that reporters for Al Jazeera are saying that the Hilton hotels are searching the hotel rooms and confiscating cameras. Is that happening?
Thank you for holding. Hello.
Hi. Who am I speaking with? Oh. Uh-oh. Now she hung up. Okay. That was a definite hang up. All right. We're gonna try a different hotel in Cairo. Why not? Cairo, hotel. Maybe we don't try a Hilton. Okay. Oh, there's the Hyatt. Oh, a Marriott. How about calling a Marriott? Is there a phone number here? This is a Marriott we're calling now in Cairo. It is the Cairo Marriott Hotel. Oh, and they have a casino there too. I didn't know they had casinos in Egypt. Just shows I don't know a whole lot, right? Let's see if we can't get somebody at the Marriott.
Good evening, Karen. I can help you.
Yes, hi. Do you speak English?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. My name is Nicole. I do a radio show in the United States, and I'm wondering if you can talk to me for a moment about what's happening, how far you are, the Cairo Marriott from Tahrir Square.
About 15 minutes.
About 15 minutes. And how are things outside your hotel? Is it quiet there? Is all the protests happening closer to the center of the square?
Our area is very quiet.
Very quiet.
Because the Nile River is divided between us and what's happening. So it's not easy for anybody to come to this side. It's two sides.
I see.
We are on the other side of the river.
Okay, well, so that's good. So you're safe where you are. Because we hear things are getting very violent there, that there are some people perhaps being paid by the Mubarak government to disrupt the peaceful protesters in Tahrir Square.
Yes, we are hearing that this is what's happening because we are inside the room. We cannot see anything. And we are here since the morning, but we are, like you, we are listening to the broadcast.
That's good. Now, do you have access to Al Jazeera? Because we heard Al Jazeera was blacked out in Egypt.
Al Jazeera, yes, it's blacked, yes.
But is your internet back up today?
Yes, it's back.
Okay, so you're able to communicate with other people.
Yes.
Can I ask, I don't know your name, you haven't said your name, so that's good, you can't be identified. How are you feeling? Would you like President Mubarak to leave?
No. We don't have to leave, but we need some adjustments, and real adjustment, deep adjustment.
Like what? What would you like to see change there?
like the parliament and the Dustur, like this.
I'm sorry, restore peace. Would you like to be able to vote for whatever candidate you like? Would you like a different government in place?
Of course, the new government is very good, and the new vice president is good also, and many changes are very good. The thing is stay is the parliament must be changed because it wasn't real survey,
right?
For the parliament and some subject in the you know the dustur I don't know the meaning of dustur by Arabic. Some subject must be changed.
Yeah, must be changed.
We need really we need the elects to be real elects from now on.
Yes.
Because this is very 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 important thing that all the elects for parliament, for the president, for anything must be real. It wasn't real elects all the past 10 years.
No, it hasn't been. I understand that. So change would be good here. Do you fear for your safety right now with what's going on with the violence that's happening today?
We hear that many injured people from Tahrir Square were injured and they couldn't find the implants to medicine them. Until now, and many are injured there.
Right, I know. I'm hearing that, Can I ask what the general impression is of Americans? I'm American, and our thoughts and wishes are with the Egyptian people. We want you to have a free and open society. Do most people realize that the Americans want that for you?
Yes, yeah, they like this, and the American here is not afraid. They are not afraid here. And I noticed that most of the foreigners, they are not afraid from what's happening, and they steady. And the people respect them. Nobody goes to the foreigner. They protect the foreigner because they need them. So I noticed that. This is what happened.
Okay, well, the American people are with you. One other question. We heard reports that the Hilton hotels were searching the rooms of the reporters and confiscating cameras. Do you know anything about that?
No.
No. You haven't been told to do anything like that at the Marriott?
No, we don't have camera inside the rooms.
You don't go inside the rooms?
No, never.
Okay.
Not
yep. Right. Well, that's where we're hearing that the Hiltons are going into the rooms that are occupied by Al Jazeera employees and confiscating the cameras.
No, I don't know that.
You don't do that. Well, sir, I thank you so much for talking with me today, and just know that so many of us here in America wish the best for you and for the Egyptian people, and hope you have peace and freedom.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you very much. Thank you. See you later, huh?
I hope so. Take care.
Ask about me and when you come to Egypt.
I certainly will, and I hope I can.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, that's why I do this. How awesome was that? I think he was a little afraid to say that Mubarak should leave, but he did say they need change. They need to be able to have open, fair elections. He said that hasn't been there. That is so cool. And it just shows, you know, it's one world. We're all human beings. And I think if you get the crazies out of the pictures, the extremists on any side, if you can get, and they are few. The extremists are a small number of people, no matter where you are, be it Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran, Egypt, United States. We have crazy extremists here as well. We do. But they are not representative of what we are all about. You know, watching these people into our Tahrir Square, watching them out-chant the people chanting Allah Akbar, which is not a bad message, out-chanting them with the chants of Christian, Muslim, we're all Egyptian. That's humanity. That's humanity. All right, I feel good now. And, you know, let's send out, remember that conversation, that sort of we're all in this together. And wish them only the best.
February 2nd, 2011, a slice of history. Sometimes, you know, you just have to get through to the correct person. And sadly, the Arab Spring kind of fizzled. Democracy did not come to the Middle East. Things there are just as bad as they were before that brave and fed up Tunisian man set himself on fire. I'm Nicole Sandler. As I hope you know, I'm off for a couple of weeks, moving from Florida to Arizona. And so what I've done is amassed a few weeks worth of shows that I hope you will find interesting and entertaining and thought-provoking. So today we're dealing with slices of history. So for our next segment, we're going to jump ahead about a decade. The date was January 3rd, 2020. Unbelievably, Donald Trump was now in the White House. And many of us worried about the reality that a madman had the authority to push a button and launch another world war. Just terrifying. And Trump is a big bully who has a habit of poking other bullies. So the U.S. and Iran have had a fraught relationship for decades now, with a very tenuous coexistence in place when Trump bragged about his U.S. assassination of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani. He was the head of Iran's elite Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and the architect of its military and political power. A U.S. air raid at Baghdad International Airport hit during the early morning hours, killing Soleimani and a few others with him. Iranian political analyst Mohammad Morandi told Al Jazeera News that the U.S. would regret the killings, which he described as an act of war against Iran and Iraq. He said that the U.S. has, quote, changed the rules of engagement with Iran in killing such a high-profile Iranian military and government official. He said the killing is practically, quote, united Iran and Iraq's hands to attack the U.S. soldiers and other Westerners in Iraq. Oh, boy. Well, concerned that this would escalate the already high tensions between our nations, I thought it might be a good time to pick up the phone again, this time to talk with an Iranian citizen, human to human. It was January 3rd, 2020. Give me love, give me love, give me peace on earth. Give me life, keep me. Hey, it's Nicole Sandler with a shortened edition of my program. Actually, this is one segment from today's show that I wanted to share with you because I can and because we should. With Donald Trump provoking war in the Middle East, we need to do all we can to promote peace. And so I made a phone call today, actually a few, until I finally got through to somebody in Iran who would talk to me human to human. I've done this before. I actually called hotels around Tahrir Square during the Arab Spring and had some amazing conversations with people. So today, I called hotels in Tehran. It took a few tries, but I finally got someone who wanted to talk to me. And what he said might surprise you. So, well, here's what happened. Hi, do you speak English? Hello, do you speak English?
Hi.
Hi, do you speak English?
Yes, really.
You speak English?
Yes.
Hi, my name's Nicole.
Hi.
And I'm actually calling from America because it looks
okay.
I'm calling from the United States because I'm concerned.
Okay.
I'm concerned about what's going on between our two countries. Can I ask
okay.
you? I don't want your name. I don't want you to identify yourself. I didn't say where I'm calling. I'm on the radio. I'm on an internet radio station here. Can you tell me if you guys are as freaked out as we are about what's going on right now, about the possibility of some kind of war?
Sorry. Now 12:09. Tomorrow morning call, okay?
Tomorrow morning I should call. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. I guess he couldn't talk. All right. Well, I'm going to try this other one because that one worked. So we'll give it one more shot. You know, I've done this from time to time over the years. The first time I did it was during the Arab Spring, and I called hotels around Tahrir Square, and I had some of the best conversations with people who were just hoping that the world was going to all of a sudden get better. And sadly, that's not what happened. So now I'm calling this other hotel. They do speak English. And from what I understand... Hi. Hello. Do you speak English?
Hello.
Hi. Do you speak English?
Hello, Mom. How may I help you?
Yes. Yeah. Hi. My name's Nicole. I'm calling from the United States. Can we talk? I'm calling just to say that I'm kind of upset, very upset about what's going on. And I wanted to speak with just an average person in Iran to tell you that we have no hard feelings towards you. Are you as freaked out as we are about what's going on between our two countries right now?
You know, it's something normal in Iran, Mom. There's nothing to worry about. If you want to see anything, if you want to read the news, the websites, the online websites, the newspapers, everything are okay. I can't. But about the hotel, if you have any question, I can answer.
No, I call a hotel because I figured people would speak English there. I just want to know if the average person in Iran.
No, if you want to speak directly to someone, it's okay, but. But you're speaking to someone that has no news, you know.
No news, but
you can open the website and ask about it. Hold on, please.
Okay. Well, he speaks good English, right? He just doesn't seem like he wants to talk to me very much.
Sorry, Mom. It's really crowded here.
Oh,
just
it
open
is.
Open the website and read all the news.
Okay. I actually wanted to know just an average person.
Sorry,
what
I can't
you
give
think.
Any
you
information.
Help. I got you.
Straight from the phone.
Okay.
Sorry, Mom, if you have
all
any
right.
question about the hotel, about the rooms, I can help you.
I got you. Just know, American people, we're good. We really don't want war with you guys. Do not want war.
Mom, it's not in my business. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm not a politician. I'm a receptionist.
I got
you. I'm repeating it again. If you
I
have
understand.
Any question about the hotel, I can answer it.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry to bother you.
Welcome. Have a good night.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye. Should I try another one? I mean, I feel like there's people out there. They all speak English. Listen to how good their English is. I'm going to try one more hotel if I can find another hotel listing. All right. I've got one more phone number that we'll try calling. It, just because we can. Why not? Let's give it a shot. All right. Calling Iran again. And this number is, now that I figured out how to find the phone numbers, 8820-2018. We'll give it one more shot. And if this doesn't work, well, then I say at least we tried. We're trying to broker peace between the United States and Iran. Because I don't know about, well, I do know about you. You don't want war either. Donald Trump has no right to do this. He didn't consult Congress. In fact, I have... Hi, do you speak English?
Yes, madam, I speak English.
Hi, my name is Nicole. I'm calling from the United States. Just as a person, yes. Person to person, I want to reach out to someone in Tehran to tell you that we do not want to fight with you guys, that we have a madman as president who's doing things that does not have the approval of most of the American people. So I want to know if you guys, regular Iranians, really just hate us in America, or you realize that we're human beings too, and most of us don't like Donald Trump and don't like what he's doing.
Of course, lady, we know about that, but we as a nation, we don't war. We just love peace. We do love peace. Just know that. But this is a game with, the politicians, not with the people.
Right. No, it's terrible. And we're trying to get Donald Trump out of office. You know, he's been impeached. He should not be. And the reason I think he's doing these crazy things is because he knows he's being impeached. We want to get him out of office. I'm so sorry. The general that we killed, Soleimani, is this somebody that you respect, somebody that you have affection for?
No. I don't know what to tell you about the killing or killing our general. But may I ask you a question? Can you tell me again everything that you told me, because I want to record it and send to my friends.
Oh, absolutely. My name is Nicole, and I do a radio show on the internet, and I wanted to reach out to somebody in Iran as a human being to human being to tell you that what our government is doing is not in our name. We do not agree with this. Most of us are freaked out about what's going on, and I wanted to reach out to just another human being in Tehran to tell you we don't want war with you. We want peace. We have crazy people running the government, and it's not okay. We're trying to get this guy out of office. So I called a hotel because that's where I figured I'd find somebody who can speak English, and I'm glad you did. And so I'm so thankful that you're talking to me. So that's what this is about. I'm actually doing a radio show. I didn't identify you, so there's no way anyone can tell who I'm talking to. But thank you for talking to me. How do you guys feel about the United States? All we hear, the media tells us that people in Iran chant death to America. Is that how most of you guys feel?
No, it's not. I don't feel that. I don't want war. I don't want death to America and the great nation of America. But just know that as an Iranian, I'm sending you this message. We do love peace. We are running from war, any war, small, big, any war. And we are sad about this terror attack from the United States. But we do love the America, United States nation. And don't forget that.
Okay. And I want you to know that most of us do not go along with Donald Trump. We have a weird system here in elections that lets the guy who got fewer votes win because it's all messed up. We want him out of office. He's already been impeached because he's a bad, bad guy. He's a bad man. And I want to reach out to say Donald Trump does not speak for me. And his actions, we are livid. We're freaked out that he did this. And we don't want war. We want peace. That's why I wanted to reach out human being to human being. And I'm so glad you picked up the phone. It's very nice to meet you. I wish we would meet under different circumstances. What can we do to keep from going to war? Do you have any thoughts other than kicking Donald Trump out of office?
I'm not sure about that because I don't know much from politics. I just...
Right.
I hope and I beg for, to be each side, both sides, the United States and Iran, to be calmed down and not to do any, violence attack to from each other. But we're waiting and we hope peace. We hope to both sides to calm down.
Yes, I hope so too.
Tell you this.
Now, what about Hassani, the president there, and the Ayatollah have been saying that they're going to take retribution on the United States?
Revenge, yes. I'm not sure, but I hope that they don't take revenge because it makes the circumstances and a little bit difficult and complicated. But we cannot predict absolutely what is going on in future in few days or in few hours, but we have to be calm down and be smart in
absolutely
this situation.
The average person over there, do they feel like you, or are there factions that does believe death to America but other factions that want a more democratic way of life there?
No, this is a small population that have this opinion, but I can tell you that most of Iranian people, more than 95%, 98% of Iranian people do not believe that we should get in the war together. Mm. But death to America is, really stupid sentence.
Yeah.
We do not use this in our dialogue every day, but I never use this even in school, even in all all days of my life. Just know that.
Okay, Well, would you like to see have elections over there and have a more secular government rather than the rule of the Ayatollah?
I cannot predict. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say.
I gotcha. And I know I understand your, you know, hesitancy to speak. I know that there's a chilling effect over there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for talking to me. Just know that all Americans are not evil, and many of us just want to be friends.
Okay. We know that.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Happy
New
Year.
I appreciate your time for talking with me and calling to me.
And I really appreciate you talking to me. Thank you so much. And best wishes for a happy New Year, a peaceful New Year.
Of course. Happy New Year, lady. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good time.
You
Bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. Well, it took a few tries. It took a lot of missteps on my part. But wow, that's what I wanted to hear. See, and he said 95-98% of the people feel the way I do. I honestly believe that if real people would just talk to one another and get the idiots like Donald Trump and, you know, John Bolton and Mike Pompeo out of the way, sometimes I think we'd be so much better off without the politicians, you know? Oh, yeah, I know. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for our On the Road Best of shows, tomorrow featuring famed prosecutor Vincent Bugliosi. So that's what I put together for you today, and it looks like I still have about 4 minutes left. I guess it's time to whip out a parody. You know, we've been through many, many of them over the years. So today we'll pull one from the Randy Rainbow pile of song parodies to play us out. I'm Nicole Sandler. Thanks for listening. I'll leave you with Randy Rainbow.
As you know, I'm meeting with President Putin on Monday. We will, of course, ask your favorite question about meddling. I will be asking that question again. You know, what am I going to do? If he may deny it. I mean, it's one of those things. So all I can do is say, did you, and don't do it again. But he may deny. I mean, well, you'll be the first to know. I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius. We still have to figure out what's going on with him.
He is the very model of a very stable genius. Of all the U.S. presidents, he is the Mussoliniest. He learned a lot of things according to his Wikipedia and demonstrates his ample intellect on social media. When people are in need, he is the best at making fun of them. He knows 11 words, although he can't spell even one of them. An overly flamboyant, orange, autocratic, scuzzy man who's undermining everything Obama did because he can.
He's undermining everything Obama did because he can. He's undermining everything Obama did because he can. He's overly flamboyant and an autocratic, scuzzy, orange man.
Stable genius.
He's firmly resolute, but how he thinks and feels and talks depends on any of the crap he may have heard that day on Fox and Friends. And though his brain is smaller than his tiny little penis, he is the very model of a very stable genius.
Although his brain is smaller than his tiny little penis, he is the very model of a very stable genius.
I am doing a great job, that I can tell you.
He's very good at pushing all the bullshit that he's peddling, but won't concern himself with matters such as Russian meddling. His campaign manager's in jail on charges that are felony, and no one really cares about him less than his wife, Melanie. Sorry, Mulaney. He's really great with children when it comes to immigration. He thinks he's making progress with denuclearization. He's only hated from Seattle to the Carolinas and likes to greet his lady friends by grabbing their vaginas.
He likes to greet his lady friends by grabbing their vaginas. He likes to greet his lady friends by grabbing their vaginas. He likes to greet his lady friends by grabbing their vaginas.
Queen Elizabeth did not see that coming. He's certainly proficient at hijacking an election. At NATO, he is not afraid of not taking direction. Aside from all his ignorance, the chaos and sapenius, he is the very model of a very stable genius.
I would say the highest level of special.
He's always been a pro at things like violating protocols and reproducing other egotistical Neanderthals. To all our greatest allies, he decides to say get out of here while doing all he can to satisfy his daddy Vladimir. There's no one as accomplished in the art of the distraction. Of anything that's factual, he orders a retraction. When greeting foreign leaders, he prefers the pomp and circumstance than vomits verbal diarrhea to satisfy his sycophants. There never was a military draft he couldn't dodge, and he is excellent at advocating racist and misogyny. He likes to make up stories with convenience exclusion of topics that he finds make him feel threatened like collusion. He expertly persuades his base that Mueller's hunting for a witch instead of their own president, who's obviously Putin's bitch. He calls reporters fake and says the Democrats are sour grapes, then lies awake at night and thinks about those Russian pee-pee tapes.
He lies awake at night and thinks about those Russian pee-pee tapes. He lies awake at night and thinks about those Russian pee-pee tapes. He lies awake at night and thinks about those Russian pee-pee tapes. He lies awake at night and thinks about those Russian pee-pee tapes.
Oh, never has has the been a stable genius as smart as he. And if you don't believe me, you can just ask Sarah Huckabee. And though his brain is smaller than his tiny little penis, he is the very model of a very stable genius.
Though his brain is smaller than his tiny little penis, he is the very model of a very stable
genius.
Whatever, girl.